Well, I have a question for you to start off this morning. If I were to ask you the relationships that are in our church and my friends, would you say that our church is a community, or would you say it's an island?
I would say a fellowship.
It's a very loaded question.
I
You're
think
exactly
it is
right.
a community. Cliques, you know, these people all together, and these people all together, you know, particularly families, especially, you know, and here it's not like that. It's everybody's a family.
Scripture says, be of one mind.
It does.
And there's a lot of emphasis on outreach and things of that nature.
There is. Do you think that I could take anybody in this room, walk into sanctuary today, and find 10 people you don't know their names?
Used to, but
Very,
now,
very
yeah,
easy. Yeah.
there you
You tend to do that when the church grows a little bit in size, right? So if you were to look at the community, we're going to the church. The word that we're going to look at today is a Greek word, and we'll come back to it in a little bit. It talks about community and communion, and it's all one Greek word. We'll get into that a little bit later. Kicking off this new study of one anothering, right? And this is where this is coming from. If you were to look at one anothering, let me give you just a little bit of information. There's 59 instances of the term one another used in the New Testament. There's even more than that, if you and it's all about, a lot of it's about the relationship that Christians should, I'm gonna use the word should have among each other, right? Now, back to what somebody said a while ago, I can't remember who said it. I think this church does a great job in helping out members' card, whether it's some pigs in a blanket that comes in on Sunday morning, Sunday school, or whatever it is. I think as a whole, our church does a good job. I think, and as we do, all right? Can we do better? Yep, we can. Can you know? But it's also part of this community that we're going to look to. So as we kick off one another today, and that's of the 59 instances, it's about 35 of them are love one another or some form of loving one another. But I want you to act on multiple occasions to love one another. Because if you watch these classes unfold over the next 16, 18 weeks, the following one another's one anothering supports loving one another. Does that make sense? So everything's back to love one another. It all supports that, right? So, you know how much I love stories. Good story. Neighbor came, the story is told of a farm boy who accidentally turned over his wagon. He said, "Hey, Willis," the neighbor said, "it's dinner time. Forget about your troubles for a while and come have dinner with us. Then we can come back and help you turn your wagon upright and put the hay back on it." "That's nice of you," Willis said, "but I don't think Dad would want me to." "So, oh, come on, son." "But Dad won't like it." So he said, "Well, it's okay." So Willis goes over and has this big dinner, you know, and big dessert and big piece of pecan pie. He sits down. So Willis thanks his host. He said, neighbor says, "Don't be silly. And by the way, where is your dad at?" Said, "He's under the wagon." So, you know, as a community, but we do have days like that. And this illustration of the story talks about the community and what we can do to help one another as much as we need to. One guy wrote this. He said, "In past time, neighbors used to know each other more than we know each other today." Says neighbors used to share meals and paint each other before the days of television. Time, society, and culture have changed. Therefore, community is much harder to find today. Just really kind of blossomed that. And I think that one of the worst things to me, other than health part of COVID, is the impact it had on our social lives. It really distanced between, I mean, even within families, it put up a big wall. If you know, I was reading about COVID a while back, and it was talking about the number of people that stopped having family get-togethers during COVID. It was a tremendous amount. So it really drove a nail in between a lot of that going on. The church a while ago, how the church has grown. And I think the same thing has to do with towns and with more people coming in. You know, when I grew up, I grew up in Oakland Heights, and Mike and I did. And it's just like you knew everybody there. But it was a stable environment, and everybody knew everybody. And I mean, there's people that I can see their houses from my house now that I never met. You know, it just happens, you know, especially if you're two. It's interesting. One church, and I got a couple of notes on this, and we'll talk about it. One church hired a group of people to come into their congregation, the community in that church, and they looked at relationships, and it would be interesting to see if they were to do that in our church, what would they find out, right? Would it be obstacles, or would it be something good? One of the questions they asked was about cliques within the church. So in a series of interviews on this church, Members were asked things like, how many of those present in the worship service do you really know personally? A very small percentage of the people in the congregation. And I think that changes the size of the church. I mean, you take a church the size of, say, Crosspoint, I think you would have a whole lot less people that know more people and more cliques or whatever you would have in the bigger the church has come. Those who gathered for worship on Sunday were, for the most part, an anonymous follows the fact that many of those who requested and expressed little interest in becoming more involved in the life of other members. One of the questions. They thought that such relationships had very little to do with a Christian life.
You know, Pam, I think some of the advantage of being like a smaller, medium-sized church, and I know some, and that's how, to me, you get to meet people too, is you get to know them, you know, Sunday school where you got the mega churches. So, I mean, I know they have some of the small groups or whatever you call them, they have there. But, I mean, you really, you're just in there with a thousand people, but you don't get to a relationship and support from that Christian.
I would agree.
Christians there.
I remember one time we went over to Liberty Square for a program or something. I don't remember when those people we know now. They go there. Yeah. You know, it's just so big. They didn't realize they never, you know, you don't see that many people over there. You know, they really identify with 10
here, you can, like, you pretty much identify somebody new. That's somebody new over there. You go try to speak to them.
For those people in this survey, and unfortunately probably some people even in our own church, the relationships inside of a church, I think, is greatly important. I think support in times of when you're going through bad things in your life, I think it lends support when you lost loved ones, whether, you know, just whatever the situation is, it's somebody that if you have good friends that you can talk to. In a minute, because there was another study that we're going to get to here in a minute that looked at the difference in a bar and a church and how people felt they could written. Don't laugh yet. Don't laugh till you hear what I got to say about that. Well, John wrote this in 1 John. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is a light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us all from sin. It involves having fellowship with the Father, the Son, and most of all with each other. And I think, you know, there's a common thread about Christians, right? I mean, without being said, if you were to take, and I saw this one time where they looked at world religions, not just Christian, but all world religions, and it looked at the proclaim and do. And if you look at the fellowship, to me, in the Christian side, is totally different than it is in other religions. If you look, it's totally, totally different. I think that's one of the things that sets us apart. The earliest Christians could never have imagined Christianity that consisted only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Although, what is, you know, important, right? But the building of that community is something I think that we could do a better job in proclaiming and working towards building. I mean, stuff like that. I think the biggest thing for something like that is Sunday school. I'm a firm believer in Sunday school. I know McKenna goes to Crosspoint. They don't have Sunday school. They have the small groups. Some of them are very, very small. But I to me, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. But to me, Sunday school is a very important part of it. I think it makes a big difference, right? But what is true real fellowship? Is fellowship visiting in the foyer, Bible class, potluck dinners, but it includes all those things. But, you know, Merriam-Webster says this, fellowship, it's a full sharing as of experiences, activities, and interests. A group of people with the same interest or brotherhood, right? The Greek word that we're looking at here is kinoia, and it's K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, and word common from. So if you look at the term that the Greek uses for this community, we say it's because we get the word common because we have common beliefs and common activities. Now, if you go through this room and you look at hobbies or you look at things that we do, there's a multitude of them in here, right? Some, and Reed like to build things. I like to play golf. Some people fish. So, you know, it's just a lot of different things that we do as a group, but yet we can have that common community together, right? Which basically fellowship means a common participation. Charles Swindell wrote this. He said, fellowship occurs, I believe, when they're expressions of genuine Christianity freely shared among God's family members. We share our common faith, our common purpose, and our common love for God, and our love for one another. Is that word again, right? If we want to please God individually, collectively, then we must work towards a real Christian community. When we become Christians, God places to practice our Christianity with each other. Interesting thought, right? So if you were to say, you know, that you, what's the biggest thing in being a Christian that you feel that our commandments are to do, would it be evangelistic efforts? Pretty big, right? I mean, that's one of them.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Absolutely. So we can list these things as we go through, right? But if you, as we list them, think about the things that you would write down to this act of loving one another, working with one another, doing things with one another on a Christian fellowship basis. That's the community of it, right? That's where we come into the community. Before in generations. Now, that's a fact. I think that with these things here, you know, we tend to be more mobile and more displaced than we were in the past. It's a whole lot easier to send somebody a text than it is to call them. Everybody guilty of that? I had to. I'm the one that
but if
does that.
Busy and, you know, they are.
I know, and I text. I do, but I much rather call people. I like to call.
If you call them, you can use phone.
Yeah. many of us have discovered experiencing real Christian community is difficult in these days of being so far apart from each other makes it harder. You know, people come and go out of our congregation frequently. It's tempting for us to avoid getting close to anyone because they probably won't be there for long, some people think. None of these are excuses. They're just challenges and realities that we face and have to overcome. Seeing a real Christian community important. So we talked a little bit about what's important for us, right? Let's look at a couple other things. Whether we admit it or not, we need that. You know, and regardless of you're married or single, outside your family, you need that friend community. You do. We all do that.
We had one for a long time.
Absolutely. But you need that. Mm-hmm. You need to have that I can call this person, even though they're no blood kin to me, and I know they got my back. That means a lot. I mean,
that conversation with someone, I'm friends with them and I like them, but I never know what, you know, they believe or not. We always get in conversations. But this guy was an atheist. And I don't know, really, as he said, he used to go to church. I believe God, well, we can still be friends and everything. He's like, well, the reason I stopped going to church is because people are always hypocritical, but that's what everybody always. But he said, I said, well, I love my church. I have all these people that back me. And he's like, you know, I'm really jealous of that. I'm jealous you have that, but I don't have that.
He let people destroy his thing.
That's what I told him too. In a different sort of way, I told him, I said, well, you don't know about what other people do to make their own
spirit.
And just because we go to church doesn't make us perfect.
No, I know. But
the non-believers expect us to be perfect.
They do.
That is a really important topic, Reed. And we sometimes do that to each other.
One other statement on that. Leanne, who y'all, you know, she piped in. She said, you know, I thought going to church too. She said, but I have a couple of those church. I really like those people. Okay. So that's a compliment.
But that's part of that community. That's exactly. When I say this, don't take this the wrong way. You don't have to have a Bible in your hand beaten on a table to show people who you are as a Christian family.
You have that Bible in your hand and you're beating it on a table.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Well, we're going to look at in a couple other lessons, we're going to look at how we as Christians rate fans. Because let me tell you, we do that. We do that immensely.
Yeah, that's a real easy way to say, well, I'm not as bad as the next guy.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to get to that in a future lesson. But we're going to do that. Another quick story, all right? And y'all know the Focus on the Family. Y'all heard Focus on the Family. There's an article back in 1967 he pulled out. And he said it was right at the peak of the Vietnam War. And it was he said that the young Army officers was in the U.S. Army Ranger School at Fort Benning. He had a group of new recruits out there, and he said, many of you won't make it. It was just that tough. He said he talked about the war going on in Vietnam. He talked about killing and the death. He talked about training, how tough it would be. Greatest fears, overcome their weaknesses, endure what they never dreamed possible they could endure. So then the sergeant announced that they were going to get started with step one. He said there were a pause in the crowd. The stern sergeant turned around and told his soldiers to choose a buddy. And he said this. This is step one. You need to find yourself a ranger buddy. You will stick together. You will never leave each other if you ever have to. That's a good thing to listen to, isn't it? He says, I would suggest each one of us need that, just one Christian buddy. The second reason the real Christian community That's what I'm going to get to. Community is not just letting Christians, it's not just something Christians need. It's something it's something the lost need, and it's something they're looking for. Old TV show Cheers. Everybody remember Cheers? When it was on? So it talks about the bar being a place where everybody knows your name. It's a place where people care about you, right?
Yeah.
In the article, the lessons from a tactic. An old Marine Corps buddy of mine, to my pleasant surprise, came to know Christ after he was discharged, Swindle wrote. He said, I say surprise because he cursed loudly, fought hard, chased women, drank heavily, loved war and weapons, hated the dollar. And after we talked a while, he put his hand on my shoulder and said, you know, Chuck, the only thing I still miss is that old fellowship I used to have with the guys at the local tavern. I remember how we used to sit around and let our hair down. I can't find anything like that for Christians. My battles where somebody is not trying to preach at me and frown upon and quote me a verse. Is that true?
Yeah.
Unconditional acceptance.
Do we have that? No. No, we don't. In their book, Edge of Adventure, Miller and Larson wrote this. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit that there is to Christian fellowship of Christ. Escape rather than reality, but it's a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It's unshockable. Remember that word. You can tell people secrets they usually don't tell others or even want them. They talk about to be loved and love, and many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. With all my heart, he wrote, I believe that Christ wants his church to be unshockable. A fellowship where people can, I've had it, and I need help. Too often, our churches miss that point. I think that's a very true statement.
Now, what it is people in the bar aren't judgmental.
But you see, I would think that people in the bars are lying about who they are and that they're boasting about things that they really don't have or don't do. That they aren't truthful. That alcohol does pin things.
I mean, how many times you've been out with a bunch of old boys here and the first word you hear, hold my beer, and know something bad's going to happen. You know what?
Sometimes, as a Christian community, is people get afraid to tell you their shockables.
They're afraid you'll hold it against them.
Bring it. I promise you, without on the pans, we can go around this room, I guarantee you, everybody in this room may have a little shockable in them.
Well, what I've heard is we shoot our Christians shoot our wounded.
Yeah. Instead of- Larry Crabb wrote this. He's a Christian psychologist. The central task of community is to create a place safe enough for the walls to be torn down, safe enough for each to that. All right. So is it supposed to be a family where each of us love each other? Absolutely. Right. Is it supposed to be a place where we can be honest about our struggles and failures? Absolutely. Can we share those things forward? Sometimes. Not all the time. I think that's where we need to improve. While at the same time receiving accountability. Okay. So there is that accountability side, right? So if accountability helps us change those things, condemnation doesn't. If I come up to Bobby and pour my heart out to Bobby and he goes, you just ain't reading Bible enough. But you see my point here. Yeah. And you know, as Christians, we got to work on building our community and that community comes along. That's important.
Now, right. So do you think that our expectations of our Christian family is based on the experience of our biological family?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if your brothers and your sisters and your parents'
expectations. I think that's just human nature, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing. I think it comes in that same line is you see people a lot of times follow the same path that their parents followed or abuse or whatever it is. You know, I think you tend to see that. And I think the same thing comes right along the plate with it. I think unfortunately it's human nature. Sad, but a Christian community that provided something that was available nowhere else, and we can do the same, right? The result was the church grew daily, and the same thing can happen to us. Jesus said all men will know that we are disciples if we love one another. About the Apostle John, there's a lot of historical data that said he lived well into his 80s, and that he would come in the church and sit down in the church, and at the end of the sermon he was back down. And interesting, right? Again and again, the New Testament writers talk about believers to engage in specific activities that enable the body of Christ to function effectively, describe mutual and reciprocal process. That Greek word is alleon, A-L-L-E-L-O-N. It's translated as one another. Guess what other word that we get from that? Alien. Our English word takes a totally opposite meaning from the Greek word. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I started saying it. It don't make sense.
Totally opposite. Totally opposite. 58 times in the New Testament outside the Gospels. All right. Paul uses words more than other people. When all the one another commanders study carefully, they can be grouped together according and reduced to approximately 12 significant actions. Listed on these two banners, if you look at the banners of the one another's, we're going to tie these all together. As Paul put it, 11 times in the New Testament we're told to love one another, and 11 different letters we're told to love one another. There's no question about what's important to the New Testament writers. Here's an interesting thing for you. Noun, verb, adjective, what's love? What does Merriam-Webster say love is? Merriam-Webster says it's a verb.
And you too.
I mean, that interesting. It's an action, right? Calling, right? As God's people, we know we can do better and be better at that, right? It's not about us, right? We have a higher calling. So I'd like to read one last thing for us as we close right here. Paul said this prayer to the Philippians, and he said this: knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come from Jesus Christ and the glory and praise from God, and love one another. So as we close, I want a little controversial, right? But as we go through and pay close attention, I'm going to give you, this was not a direct scripture, but I'm going to give you some scriptures as we go through. And I'll go through and read those, and I want you to look how each one of these that we go through, these one anotherings, I did spell that correctly, by the way, as we go through this, up love one another, because I think it's going to be interesting.